Time to talk money matters with Chief Economist from AMP on this Monday morning. Shane Oliver, good morning to you, buddy.
Good morning, Luke. Hope you had a good weekend.
I hope you did too. Look, there's a couple of things I wanted to pick your brains about. And number one is, you know, there are fears now that the Middle East conflict is about to break into a region-wide war. And the humanity all taken into account, the effect that that's going to have on the stock markets around the world, because obviously that's going to push up oil prices and it probably will present a fresh threat to global inflation. What are your thoughts?
Look, this was, I mean, to be honest with you, it wasn't a great weekend.
It was a terrible weekend.
The attacks in Westfield, Sydney, that was horrible. And then, of course, Iran's attack on Israel. And, of course, the worry about that attack is that it leads to a counterattack and a bigger conflagration in the Middle East. Now, of course, you could argue, well, wars in the Middle East have come and gone for years. The problem would be that if Iran gets involved, that country is a major oil producer. It produces something like 3 million barrels of oil per day. Total oil consumption is about 82, 83 million barrels per day. So it's about 3.5% of global oil production. Now, of course, there are embargoes on getting oil from Iran, but not all countries follow those embargoes. But if Iran is somehow stopped, or if it stops the flow of ships through the Strait of Hormuz, through which a massive amount of oil flows daily, and then that could push oil prices higher. So a lot is riding on whether this thing escalates. Hopefully this is it. It was in retaliation, apparently, for an attack in Damascus. Hopefully this is it and it doesn't escalate. But if it does, then obviously we're going to see much higher petrol prices. The problem there, of course, higher petrol prices, as we all know, directly adds to inflation. But it also acts as a tax. You know, we have less money to spend elsewhere in Australia and that hurts the economy. So hopefully the situation in the Middle East does settle down and doesn't further escalate. But obviously, we could have a bit of a rough ride today on the share markets. US share market was down about 1.5% on Friday on anticipation of these attacks. And obviously, we're probably going to see a bit of a rough ride today in our share market.
Yes, we'll keep a very close eye on this. So Iran produces what?
It's about 3 million barrels per day of oil. It is it's a top 10 oil producer. Obviously, the US and Saudi Arabia are up there at the top. I think the US produces something like 12, 13 million barrels per day. It's shot up dramatically with shale oil in the US, followed by Saudi Arabia. You might think, well, there's embargoes. Yeah, surely Iran can't get their stuff out, but it does. You know, other countries around the world don't comply with those embargoes and they get the oil. If they can't get it from Iran because it's involved in a war, then they'll get it from somewhere else. And that obviously pushes the price up. So obviously a lot riding on this, not just all the lives of the people in the Middle East, but globally as well in terms of oil prices.
Yeah. Shane Oliver is with us. We're having a look at Money Matters this morning. Shane, the Australian Beverages Council announced a pledge to reduce the sugar in beverages by 20% by 2025. And has encouraged the non-alcoholic beverage industry to sign up to this as well. An increase in sugar in two popular soft drink brands has prompted health experts now to renew calls for laws to cut the sugar in beverages. And I noticed that a number of major media companies are now reeling from the prospect of losing $300 million in advertising revenue from a government crackdown on gambling, that's gambling advertising, and face an even more expensive blow from a possible ban on junk food ads. Shane, your thoughts on this? Is this, have we turned into a serious nanny state now?
Well, that's what I worry. To be honest with you, I think there is a case for government intervention in the case of some of these things. We've done that for many years in the case of tobacco excise. Obviously partly designed to cover the costs, the health costs of people smoking, similar with alcohol excise. So you could argue, well, okay, fair enough. But I think covering sugar as well might be going a little bit too far. I'm all for reducing the sugar content to some degree because I know there is a big issue with diabetics. And I think we all have to watch our sugar.
Yeah, but that's education. That's education.
That's education.
I can't eat refined sugar. I know that. And so I don't. And I've you know, I've had to fine tune my diet. It's not a big sacrifice, but do we need governments to tell us that excess?
Look, I think you're right there. It is about education. My doctor said, look, over the years, your sugar level has been rising. Think about ways to chop it back. So I did. I chopped out sugary soft drinks and things. But I think it's up to individuals. You know, there's a degree to which the government can provide guidance, fair enough. But if you start banning advertising on everything you don't like, you know, we're going to end up banning everything. And I just think that goes a little bit too far. We've got to have a little bit of individual responsibility here. We're not in a totalitarian state. I don't like the idea of government encroaching on everything we do. There is an illogical limit to this. And I think at the end of the day, if this just goes too far, you end up with a lower standard of living. As government just tells us more and more as to what we can do. And I do worry, yeah, we're going to become a nanny state. Just think about all the freedoms we had as kids. You can say some of the things we did were fairly risky, not wearing helmets on bikes and so on. Yep. But by the same token, I sort of think, you know, if you go too far, you take away a lot of the joy in life.
Yeah, but remember that.
A lot of this stuff is going too far.
But remember the difference to the road toll, compulsory seatbelts, mate. So some people, and motorcycle helmets and things like that.
There's logical things you can do. And I personally, I go out on a bike, push bike now, and I always put my helmet on because I've seen the consequences of people who take a big hit to the head. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense. But a lot of that's about education. There's sort of a role for regulation. But I don't want to push that one too far, telling everyone what to do about everything. I think a lot of it comes down to education, just advising people, you know, try and keep sugar intake down and you'll have a longer, healthier life.
Imagine the advertising revenue that would be lost if Coke, I'm just using one brand name, and McDonald's ads were banned. Imagine that.
Yeah, I don't see that that would be a huge advantage to us. Look, to be honest with you, you can go into those. I can't tell you about McDonald's. I think they did have healthier options. I think they do. But you can, if you go to Coke, you know, I love the taste of a Coke or Pepsi, and you can
KFC.
In my case, it's a debate between what tastes best: the no sugar Coke or the Pepsi Max.
Don't tell me there's anyone listening to us this morning that doesn't know Fanta and Coke has sugar, and that KFC. The F stands for fried. Don't tell me.
Well, people know that.
So, of course they do. Of course they do.
But you do have the option there. Yeah, you know, Coke came along with Diet Coke many years ago. Pepsi came along with Pepsi Max. You know, we've got all the education. We're told that sugar's bad for us. Just choose those options.
And remember,
if you're worried about it.
And remember Elle Macpherson and Tab. Remember the Elle Macpherson ads. That's where she started, the Tab ad. Shane Oliver is with a shame. What are we expecting in the markets today?
Look, as we were mentioning at the start, obviously a big drive will be what's going on in the Middle East. And I suspect we're going to see a bit of a rough ride. The US share market, as I mentioned, fell 1.5% on Friday. So when we open, we probably will be in the negative territory. And of course, you often get a situation in Australia and Asia. We're waiting to see what the US response, the US share market response is to these attacks. And we won't know until we get to tonight when we see what the US share market does. So that sort of creates a bit of nervousness. But I suspect, yeah, we will see the market down a little bit today. Don't forget, in a big picture sense, though, we are heading ultimately, there's been a few delays here, towards lower interest rates. The economy is still growing, so it's not all doom and gloom. But obviously, we have had good runs in markets, record highs in the Aussie market, global markets, and they are a little bit vulnerable to a bit of short-term volatility.
Yeah, for sure. All right, it'll be interesting to talk to you tomorrow and see what happens today. Have a great Monday. Talk soon, buddy. Thank you.
Thanks, Luke. Take care.
Shane Oliver.